Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick?
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hey guys.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
Right now.
Damn. I'm literally about to record. Hey, if you want to send me text updates when you stop to let me know that you're still alive, that'd be great. Love you.
Bye. Pardon?
Excuse me.
I won't.
Shit.
Okay.
I need it.
I need you want to be held? I need crack. Corey, give me crack.
Dude, I do need crack. And that's not about cocaine.
Is that? Oh, crack cocaine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, honey.
What's up, everyone? Hello. Immediately demonetized.
Yeah, and I was talking about getting my back cracked.
But she says, give me crack.
That my husband knows how. Well, he knows what I mean.
Yeah.
So one day he shows up with something else, I'm going to be like,
wait a minute,
we're not on the same page anymore.
Yeah.
Like I thought we were.
Yeah. But I mean, you were at a children's birthday party and you give me crack at the table and you're like, that wasn't good crack.
That wasn't good crack. I need a better crack.
Yeah.
He knows exactly how to do it. He gives me like a hug squeeze and the way he does it just mm-hmm. pops the one spot
that you can't
get. My back that I can never get by like turning. So.
All I'm thinking about is wanting to crack my back right now.
Corey tells me that chiropractors hate me because I'm a chronic self-adjuster. So
chronic self-adjuster?
Mm-hmm. I was like, whatever.
You know what? Sometimes when I'm lonely, I be self-adjusting.
I have to self-adjust myself.
Sorry. No one self-adjusts me like I self-adjust me.
That's what I know.
Anyway.
So here's the deal, everybody. We're a little tired. If you could tell, we're
going through it.
I can't even think of
in a way that we've not gone through it differently than how we're normally going through it.
Yeah.
We are on one of our 3 days off. Mm-hmm. And by off, we're obviously not off because we're recording
we're
and then
right
we have to edit tomorrow and then we start traveling again. But
yep.
We just got back from the Pacific Northwest. Jet lag is real.
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
matter how hard I try and beat it every time I go there.
Oh, it's so real. I would say even more real this time because we had a job to do while we were out yep. there. Like, well, I guess you've gone out there and had a job to do, like,
yeah,
photography wise. But
yeah. But I mean, I kind of got to schedule when I was doing things.
True.
And then I don't know. I wasn't in, it's a different work.
And it wasn't as late nights.
Yes.
That's the thing is because they're 3 hours behind us, when our shows normally go on, it's like 7 to 8, which they were same here, but that's 10 to 11 our time. Mm-hmm. So I was very tired by the end of every show.
Yeah.
Kicked my ass a little bit. Because then we're waking up at 7 a.m. still, like, every morning.
Well, you know, I had a bad case of the sillies on the flight home.
Oh, you did.
I was the latest we've flown home.
And I honestly can't believe you didn't say something about the fact that Albert Einstein was sitting two rows ahead of us. You didn't see him?
No.
I was like, uh-oh. It's like when you're traveling with a toddler and you see somebody that you're like, they're going to say something about this person. This man... I swear to God, I was like, you can tell me right now.
What equals MC squared?
You can tell me if time travel is real because is this, are you right now? Just give me a wink.
What the fuck was I even saying? I remember.
Really nothing of substance.
I remember whispering something to you and then reciting. Oh my God. I said, do you remember? She was in front of me when we're like walking down the fucking aisle of the plane, and I lean up and I go, oh my God, somebody once told me that the world was gonna roll me. And you go, shut the fuck up.
It needs to be said that at this moment in time also, we had been traveling for like 12 hours and we still weren't home. This was on our second flight home, and I was so tired. I said it nice. I was like, shut the fuck up.
No.
I was like, girl, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's like that. I heard it like, if you don't shut the fuck up right now,
well, it was
you're being too
so,
silly. You're being way too
it was
fucking
more
silly.
So like, you gotta shut the fuck up. Albert Einstein is right here. I don't know if you can see him. Oh my God, what if he wasn't there at all? And I was just seeing things again.
Well, I'm telling you, I didn't see it. I'm not saying that he wasn't there. I'm just saying I didn't see him.
He was sitting directly in front of you.
I didn't see you and Albert Einstein in the same room ever. I know that there was a pilot right in front of us, right in front of the lady who wasn't wearing shoes, who was next to you.
What?
You took a picture of her bare feet and showed it to me.
Not the lady with the shoes, the pilot.
Yeah, there was a pilot right in front of her. And I was like, who's flying this plane?
She had her dogs out. Okay, wait. Because I get it. I took my shoes off at one point, but I had socks on. This lady was full dogs out next to me on the plane. And I was like, oh. We are very crammed in here. And
those
I feel like
toes are toes.
Those are basically touching me. Yep. So anyways, I didn't see the pilot. But hopefully he was just getting a ride because
I think he was.
Yeah, I hope he wasn't flying the plane from back there.
He's like, I just want to see what it's like from back here.
You know what's really
what my flying feels like to everyone else.
You know that I've been like listening to podcasts again a little bit, and I tried to on the plane. I've been getting really good. Everybody, I just want to say real quickly, I'm very proud of myself. I've been getting really good at plane riding.
She's got her formula down.
I really do. So normally I had to just listen to music or something, but now I can like either turn on I like a cozy reading in a library soundtrack thing on Spotify, which is just instrumental music, and I'll read to that, or I'll put on a podcast and I can listen to that. So I flip one on an old, way older episode, just randomly hit it.
Oh no.
It's a true crime one, and it's about some Malaysian airline flight that goes missing.
Great.
And I was like, turn it off. No.
Well, I didn't want to tell you before we flew to the Pacific Northwest, because I knew we were flying United, that like several United like planes had to come down because of like issues with the...
What?
Yeah.
What?
With like engines and stuff.
Engines?
Engines. Engines.
You didn't tell me that.
Why the fuck would I tell you that?
Why wouldn't you?
Because then you would have freaked out.
And I wouldn't have flown.
Exactly.
We're not going anywhere.
I don't know what we're flying next.
Delta.
Okay.
I feel like Delta's pretty good.
Sure.
What?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to Google it.
I've never flown Delta.
One time Delta didn't open when I wanted them to be open and I was mad.
Didn't open?
Yeah. Our flight was like super early and I was standing in the line at 4 a.m. trying to check my bag and I was like, where are you?
Well, we got like that TSA thing now that we can
hop
ahead in the line. So we should be, even if... Should be good.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, enough about our travels. We're going to do a mental health check-in because honestly, I felt kind of bad because we had thought about doing one. And I'm like, is that an easy way out? And then we got like two people that requested them.
I mentioned that I was like, I feel like we just need to do that. I feel like we've been doing a lot of content and not a lot of self-reflection.
Yes.
And It's been, you know, honestly, I wanted to do it. And then Taylor Swift's new album came out and she has a song on there called, what is it? Do It With a Broken Heart or whatever.
You can do it with a broken heart, I think. Or I can do it with a broken heart. I think it's I can do it.
Come here, you sexy little thing. That's Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
And Post Malone. Mm. Honestly, here's something. Post Malone is like the golden boy right now because fucking Noah Kahan put him on his album.
Yep.
Then Stick Season took the fuck off.
Yeah.
I know Stick Season was out for a while, but I don't think it popped off until him and Post Malone
truly
did their collab. And then so many people wanted to do collabs from that album.
Yeah.
And then Beyonce had Post Malone on her album, and now Taylor Swift has Post Malone on her album.
It's crazy.
Like Posty.
He can kind of do it all. Mm-hmm. Which is very impressive. And he's good at all of it.
I can do it with a broken heart.
I can do it. I think that's what I said, but.
I thought you said you first and then
I
you
did,
said
and
I.
Then I said I.
Okay. Anyway, yes, that song came out and lyrics from that song are, oh, fuck, is it? I'm so depressed I act like it's my birthday every day.
Yes.
And then my other favorite one is, I cry a lot, but I am so productive.
Yes.
It's an art. And I'm like, wow, if this isn't me.
This isn't me.
These are the saddest fucking lyrics, but
so
it's
true.
It's a bop. And I am dancing to it. And I don't think it's necessarily healthy for me not to take a minute and be like, hey, bestie.
Let's check in.
Let's maybe not be a dancing monkey for a little bit.
Truly, because I've realized, you know me, I'm not an emotional person. But
right.
I told you last week, I think it was last week, all my days are confused, but that I was crying at the Love is Blind wedding.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. I was crying.
Oh, no.
Because I needed a rest day yesterday.
Yeah.
So I was just like, rotting on my couch and scrolling through TikToks as I do.
Yeah.
And I was crying. There was like WWE is popping off again, you know? And I guess The Undertaker showed up and he hasn't been around in a very long time. And I don't know anything about The Undertaker or wrestling, but everything was popping up where the crowd's reaction, I'm going to get emotional talking.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You have tears in your eyes.
This is how I know that I'm unwell right now. There's like a gong bell, like a ding, and just that noise is what everybody associates like with him coming out or whatever. So they're all waiting. The Rock is doing his
thing. Rock stuff.
And all of a sudden you hear gong and the fucking place just like erupts in sound because they know what it means. And then the lights go off and they're like, yeah. And then it comes back on and he's in the ring and I am crying. And I think it's just because I really like to see people really happy.
Yeah.
I cried whenever we went and saw Taylor Swift's The Eras movie.
Yes.
I don't even listen to Taylor Swift really
at all.
I cried
when I watched The Eras movie too.
I wasn't crying at the movie. I was crying at how joyous the people were that were there to watch it. How much joy it brought them. That made me cry. And so I think something's wrong with me.
I think something's right with you.
Maybe.
It hasn't been right for a very long time.
I'm feeling emotions again and I'm like, I need to shut these out.
And I'm not.
Oh my God, we've spent
Freaky
too much,
Friday'd.
Oh my God, we've spent too much time together that we Freaky Friday'd.
We Freaky Friday'd.
If this is how it is for you all the time, I want a less. It's too much feeling.
It is. It's a lot.
I can't handle it.
Yeah. I can't feel right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
I'm so depressed I act like it's my birthday.
Oh.
Every day.
The meaning that has now. Oh. I didn't know it said every day. Anyways, we'll get back to that later.
Is that a callback to two years ago?
It sure was. Listen,
all
right.
We all can make our own assumptions about now if we want.
If you want, you're probably right.
You probably have clues.
I'm sure you do. Here's our first question.
Okay.
Do you ever have doubts? If so, how do you know when to take them seriously and when to brush them off? It's actually a great question. It's so good, I don't know what the fuck to say. Questions like that make me sit for a second and be like, why the fuck do we have this platform? Because I have no idea.
Yeah.
You just asked me thinking that I could give you wisdom. And I'm like, damn. Does anybody else know the answer? Do you guys want to tell me?
Can you read it again?
Do you ever have doubts? Let's just break it down. Do you ever have doubts?
Yeah.
Yes. Easy yes. If so, how do you know when to take them seriously and when to just brush them off?
I almost never take them seriously.
And I take them seriously
100% of the time.
That's, oh, God damn, that is so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's maybe a problem of mine that I'm trying to work on is taking them less seriously, which is why I think that I've gotten better at certain things in life, which is like flying and performing in front of people. I had doubts about all of those, about failing, and I just had to like...
Well, there it is.
I just had to...
There it is. See, what I was going to say is doubts
come
from something. So if I'm doubting, okay, going on tour, what about tour are you doubting? Well, I'm doubting traveling. Why do you doubt traveling? Well, because the plane could go down. And then you looked up the statistics, the realisticness, and you're like,
okay.
I looked
up turbulence, what it does, what it means.
Now I know that I can put that doubt to rest.
Yes.
Being in front of people. Well, what are you afraid of being in front of people? You're in front of a camera that then hundreds of thousands of people see all the time. What do you care about that? And you're like, it's failure.
Yeah.
And then... So it's more so getting to the root of where the doubt comes from
so true.
Not the thing that brought the doubt to the surface.
Yeah, because truly, whenever you think about failure, okay, in my mind, what's the worst? Why am I doubting myself performing? Failure was the answer, correct? What does failure look like in that realm?
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people, they're cheering.
Does it look like a bunch of fucking technical difficulties? Because
We've done it at every single show we've had them in some way, form, or another.
Yeah.
Does it sound like people not cheering for us or not laughing when the laughs are supposed to hit? It's happened.
Yeah.
Either way, people have told us at the end that it was a great show. So I think it's different for everybody. And I just have to remember that, like, if I make one person laugh, to me, that's a success.
Right.
If I make one person feel good, if we have one person tell us afterwards, like, that was a great show, I'm really glad I spent the money to come here, like, have that experience tonight, to me, that's a win.
Yeah.
So.
If I get down to the root of my.
Lower your expectations, is what I'm saying.
If I get down to the root of my doubt, and what it is me feeling like I'm going to rely so much on something external to affect my internal, then I'm like, that's not a doubt I'm going to take serious. Because
totally.
At some point, you have to trust yourself more
to
be able to overcome whatever external is happening.
That's so true.
And that doesn't mean that whatever the doubt is that you're going to choose to ignore or take serious isn't going to be really fucking hard.
Yeah.
But I think that you're doing yourself a disservice by not taking a moment to reflect and seeing, is this doubt coming from a place of fear or protection?
Mm.
And sometimes fear can feel like protection.
Totally.
But it's not.
Yes. It's hindrance.
Yeah.
That's good. Good job.
That was one of those questions where I'm like, I don't know if I said anything.
I think you did, but I could have also been saying nothing because at this point, I really don't know.
Wait, time out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
It's springtime, and I can't wait to bust out my linen two-piece from Quince because it's easy, breezy, comfortable.
And I love wearing my silk robe, my white silk robe, because honestly, if I'm being real, it makes me feel rich.
And you look rich, but you don't have to be rich.
Thank you.
The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And you can feel good about the things that are making you look good because they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And we love that.
We do. So indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/tangents for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/tangents to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/tangents.
I am obsessed with clothes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem for me. It's a problem for my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's why I'm so excited to be sharing Nuuly with our audience, because Nuuly is a way to try out trendy styles, colors, silhouettes, all different kinds of things that maybe you've been interested in, but are like going to make your bank cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can rent them for a period of time and then you just ship them back.
For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing.
That's another beautiful thing, mm-hmm. because a lot of places may not have options for everyone. And this has so much diversity, not only in the brands that they offer, but also they have fast free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility.
Plus, the option to buy what you love.
It's fun, it's sustainable, and you can save because you get to try out a bunch of stuff that you like, or maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like this. And then you get it and you're like, I don't think that's for me. But there's no commitment to buy it unless you really do love it. And you're like, you actually can't have this back, Nuuly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it.
Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off of your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code TANGENTS20.
Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code TANGENTS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month.
That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's with code TANGENTS20.
Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
We just be talking sometimes, and you know, I asked if you could teach a bald eagle to read in Portland. And that's how I know we've been talking for too long.
Those are the kind of questions I have now.
And we called all of Seattle bald eagles.
Well, I've been calling it Scree-attle.
That's just, that was fun. We were having a silly goof.
If you were in the Pacific Northwest and you witnessed that business, put a bald eagle in the comments below.
For real. After going through a really hard breakup, how do I keep finding self-worth? I'm looking at you.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I would say number one, you have to ask yourself if in the relationship were you depending on that person for external validation.
I would ask as well, what was your worth level
with them?
With them.
If that's very true.
Because I feel like if you imagine your worth like a basket, okay? Mm-hmm. And in that relationship, your basket felt really, really full. Was that because there was a lot to fill your basket, or was that because your basket was small?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I feel like...
Or were you just being told that your basket was full?
You know,
and you didn't know if it was or not.
Yeah.
And because you don't know what full really feels like.
Right. And
you know what I mean?
And who was filling that basket?
We're telling you that it was full.
Fill your own basket.
That's what I'm saying. So
make your own pie.
in like really, really simple, lame terms, because this is what happens in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I was going through this process, which obviously it took many, many a breakup, many, many a people telling me that I wasn't shit, and mm-hmm. not just romantic partners, I just kind of had to look at them and also be like, but also, you're kind of not shit.
Yeah.
And like, so realistically, why the fuck do I care?
Right.
Why do I care?
Right.
Why am I putting so much of my worth on your shoulders
mm-hmm.
for you to carry for me when, like, I don't really, you're not shit either.
Right.
So like, even though maybe I think I'm not shit, and I do a lot of the time, I can work on that.
Right.
I can't make you not shit. So like, and I'm going to go ahead and give yourself back that power.
And you can't make me not shit.
Yeah,
there's nothing you can do to change me. I have to change
That's what I'm saying. So you got to take that power back.
Right.
And I know it sounds easier than it is, because it is quite a process, but like changing your mindset up, number one, is the most important thing. And like realize that you hold the power. You hold that power. Yeah. And claim that power. Take it back.
If you're going to rank, you know, important things in your life, and I feel like this is so cliche because I feel like people have said it before, but you know, we've said things don't click until they click.
Yeah.
Where are you putting yourself on the list of important things? Mm-hmm. Because I know that there have been relationships in my life where I didn't put myself first, or I put myself equal.
Yes.
Because I thought that that's what it meant to be
in a partnership.
In a partnership is that we're equal. But when push comes to shove, that person will choose themselves
every single time.
Every single time.
As they should, to be honest.
And if you're not going to pick you,
yeah.
No one is.
Yeah.
So if you are relying on someone else to either maintain your status,
yeah,
equal or higher than theirs, you're going to be disappointed every time.
And that's where you're slipping into codependency and things like that. You're going to get into really muddy waters of like, we are so enmeshed that.
And
like,
I thought I was the exception to the rule.
I know.
I really did. And I think that I was naive to believe that I could escape a situation without it. What was this question about?
Finding self-worth.
Without it crushing my self-worth.
Sure. I mean, it's going to. It's going to. There's always going to be.
Or questioning it. Not crushing necessarily, but questioning.
Well, because there's always. You're going to take a hit to any kind of worth when you've built a life together with somebody, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they're denying you or rejecting you or whatever. There's going to be that question there.
Or you're just not a unit anymore.
Exactly.
It doesn't even have to mean. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be
come from
negative.
Them. It could be you deciding, like, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
However, it's kind of like, then you start questioning, did I do enough?
Yeah.
Did I put enough time into it, enough effort into
it? Is the reasoning that I did good enough?
Is it, yeah, valid?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have that strong sense of, like, backing yourself to be able to push
that goes that. Back to the last question with doubts. Mm-hmm. Like,
don't doubt yourself, because you know yourself better than anybody. And a lot of that self-doubt and a lot of these questioning your worth, all of that is coming from outside voices, mm-hmm. that are inside your head that are masking themselves as your voice, as not your voice.
Right.
Those things, you wouldn't talk like that to another person. So why are you talking like that to yourself? Because it's not your voice. Mm-hmm. You're hearing it from someone else. So
that was one of the things I did in therapy is, hey, figure out whose voice that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it so much easier because there are periods of time when those messages aren't as frequent for me and they're not as loud. But when they do become more frequent and they do become more loud, it's easier for me to discern where that's coming from and whether mm-hmm. I should put any stock into it and whether I should allow it to affect my decision making or my self-worth, essentially, because ultimately, whether I feel it now or not, I want to keep making sure that I'm moving in a direction where the only person who gets to decide what my worth is and how much of it I have is me.
Yes, as it should be. How has your medication been treating you? Holding up to all this apocalypse talk. You're the one on medication. How's it treating you?
I don't know that I've updated you guys on my medication.
That's why I included this.
I'm on half my dose of Zoloft that mm-hmm. I was on. And I am now on, I didn't want to talk about it until I was on it for a little bit of time to see how I was doing. But I'm now on Wellbutrin as well, which is a mood stabilizer. And I feel like I have... I mean, there's a lot of factors that are going into this in addition to my medication, because sometimes medication is necessary because of a chemical imbalance, and mm-hmm. sometimes medication is necessary because of an environmental imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And when your environment changes, you may notice that your brain chemistry also changes.
Sure.
And so I have not needed as much of my Zoloft, and I have been feeling a lot more awake. And also Wellbutrin helps with ADHD symptoms.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm finding a system that works better for me over time instead of just kind of like numbing a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's kind of why I didn't jump into doing medication. And no, this is obviously, you know me, I'm very pro medication yourself. Yeah. But yeah, for me, it was like, I knew that mine, I had been masking for so long, like my real anxieties and the depression and stuff like that. And like a lot of my fears, all of those things were like culminating into the depression. You know what I mean? The anxieties and me like worrying about my self-worth and things like that were also making it like, well, I'll just not leave bed then, because then I don't even have to face these things. And then I don't have to be reminded that I can't or won't do it.
Right.
So like, even though I've not been medicated, I think that I'm on a pretty cool journey of just like really fucking going head on and shit and like facing things and then being like, let's just see what happens.
Well, and I think that
what's the worst that could happen?
That comes from being reflective too, because like for me in my situation, when I first got on medication, it was after about a year's worth of doing therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And my panic disorder was not getting any better. And I was physically still having some pretty intense responses with my not being my shortness of breath, my dissociation. I was like kind of like blacking out at times. I would go into like these catatonic like states where I was just kind of like immobile.
Right.
And so it was almost like the medication got me to a point where I was like, now I can start acquiring the tools that I need to handle this stuff, because my body was so used to
It's an extra tool even there.
Taking the lead in dealing with my mental anxieties. So I was like, hey, body, calm down so I can gather the tools mentally to battle this before you kick in.
Yeah.
And now that I have that and I feel a lot more equipped to internally regulate myself mentally, now I'm able to step back medication wise.
Exactly. And I didn't even, I mean, mine was not like a stabilizer of any kind, but I got on, well, I got a prescription for Zofran because one of my biggest anxiety symptoms is nausea and vomiting and whatever. Yeah. And honestly, that's even helped me. So it's like, I didn't even have to do like anything that was potentially going to throw off my mental health.
Yep.
And I feel like it still worked. So like, if you're experiencing symptoms like that, that you, the physical symptoms are getting in your way of like being able to confront it head on, it's totally, you talk to your doctor also about other things that you can do if you're worried about, like if you've tried medication after medication and it's not working.
Or therapy alone isn't working.
Yeah, truly. How do you do your 20s? Everyone is at such different stages of life, and it's hard not to compare. I just added this one because I feel like it's important. And the real answer is that there's no good way, I feel, to do your 20s except to just get through it.
I think maybe stop thinking of them as your 20s and start thinking of it as your life.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I know that I've done this. I know that I do it now where I'm like, my 30s are way better than my 20s.
Yeah.
But I really truly don't like thinking about it as like, I am one person in a decade and then this decade's over and now,
I'm
this
different person. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I understand at different stages of your life, you have access to different things, people, finances, stability, like all of that's going to come. But if you're so focused, not only on how other people are doing the age that you're doing, but you're now comparing yourself to a future you.
Right.
That's just unfair.
It's
unfair to you because you're completely missing out on enjoying the you that exists now. Because I guarantee in 5 years, you're going to look back at that you and be like, oh, fuck, I didn't enjoy that enough.
Truly.
I didn't appreciate that enough.
Truly. No,
even though
I do
it was hard.
All the fucking time. And the other thing that I think about that I wish I could go back and like remind myself of is, as hard as my 20s were, they were like building blocks.
They were necessary.
For who I am. And like all those years of lesson learning and mistakes being made, like every mistake that I made, I'm thankful I made it. And at the same time, and I probably shouldn't say this part, but I was going to say every mistake that I've made, while I learned from it, I also had fun doing it, if I'm being honest. Okay.
So, well, like, and I think that
I
comes
was just
from
having a good time.
I think that comes from the word mistake being so subjective. Yeah. Like, what is a mistake?
Arguably,
and what's a good time?
People could tell me that having a child when I was 20 years old was a mistake. Guess what? It was the best fucking thing I've ever done.
Right.
At the time, would I have chosen it for myself? No.
Right.
But we roll with these punches, baby. Yep. And we just kept moving. And now it's incredible. I love it. I love that I have a almost teenager. Mm-hmm. He's so fun and awesome. And it's just fun to see him living life. And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
I think like the whole idea of it being a building block is important. And I also feel like when you start to view something as that's abstract as something that's concrete, like a foundation of a house.
Mm-hmm.
What do people love most about houses? Character. What adds character? Time,
mm-hmm.
flaws,
yeah,
uniqueness. And all of those things are acquired through mistakes,
yeah,
or challenges,
yeah,
or being different than someone else.
Yeah.
So just think about it like that. Think about those moments as adding character to your house.
And as two moms, I can say right now, I feel like the 20s were the toddlerhood of my youth or my young adulthood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like when you have a toddler, you know, you're not supposed to, it's very hard to do as parents, but you're not supposed to look at what other babies' milestones they're meeting.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, don't compare your babies, because don't do that to them. And like,
even though you want to, because you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing.
Yes, but every baby hits milestones at a different pace. And
right.
I mean, my kids were talking super early, but they didn't walk until they were 15, 16 months. And like, other babies were running before they were a year old. And it's just like, it's always so different. So at the same time, though, they all get to where they need to be eventually.
Yeah,
they all start going to school and things like that. So don't put that pressure on yourself, because this should be a time to just like figure yourself out and have fun.
Your homework is to go watch Baby Race, the episode of Bluey that's called Baby Race.
That's a good one. I've not seen it, but I've heard from literally everybody that that's a good one.
You would cry. You in the state that you're in right now, you would cry.
I know I would. That's why everybody keeps telling me to watch Bluey, and I'm like, I care right now. I don't know.
Just
I'm going to let you decide.
Just read it. And if I want to take it out, I will.
Might be a touchy subject, but thoughts on couples counseling. We have our first session on Monday.
Okay. I think that couples counseling is wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that it is an incredible tool. And I think the most important thing when going in is to make sure... It's hard because when you go into couples counseling, you're viewed as a couple. However, you still are two individuals.
Yeah.
So if your couples counselor is viewing it as like a, this is a both of you thing, it's not always a both of you thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And if they're not willing to say that and confront that when they see certain things happening right in front of their eyes, that's a red flag. And also if you, as someone who is going with your partner, if you're not feeling heard in there, you're feeling like you are just like if you go to a game.
Spectator?
Yes. If you feel like you're a spectator in the session and not an active participant, that's another red flag.
Yeah.
Because you are just as much there for you as you are for the other person. That counselor should be just as much there for you as they are the other person. And I want anyone who's going to go to couples counseling to advocate for yourself in there. I don't know why you're going to couples counseling. I don't know if it's a it's something is like premeditative. It's just kind of like before anything's really going wrong, or if you're going because something has already gone wrong. I know that going there can be a very difficult thing if you are not used to advocating for yourself. And I think that it would be important to note that to your counselor, so that they can maybe go in with the mindset of saying like, this person's afraid to vocalize their feelings. This person is afraid to advocate for themselves
because of how this other person is going to react. Mm. And so now I'm watching them shut down. I'm watching them be quiet. And so
maybe I use that time to be like, hey, is there something you would like to say to this?
Yeah. And that's just because counselors only know what they know.
Yeah.
So if they don't know that that's a coping mechanism for you, if that's a pattern of behavior for you, they're not going to call it out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, do some self-reflection before you go in there and let them know, these are things I want to work on, but these are also things that I am struggling with in the relationship, just to give them a better sense of what's going on. Because if not, they can't help you.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you do, and they're not advocating for you or setting up a safe environment,
you can find a different counselor, and you should.
And I think you should.
And some people, I think, want it to work so badly. They want that to be a fix.
Yeah.
They want that. Because I know for a lot of people, and this might not be your case, this is just what I've known from people in my personal life outside of you even.
Yeah.
Couples counseling was like a last resort.
Yes.
It was like a, okay, let's try to save this thing.
Yes.
And I think when it's viewed as that, you will kind of ignore all those red flags and everything in,
yep,
in that, and just like be on your best behavior. It can work if we make it work,
mm-hmm,
kind of a situation, and you can let yourself be almost blinded by like, oh, it seems like it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we've gotten, you know, whatever.
Because you almost feel like you're being graded. You're like,
yes,
no, I'm doing well.
I want to pass this.
I'm, yeah, passing this.
Yeah.
And that was my issue when going into therapy in the first place, was like, I want to be the best, like, therapized individual,
yeah, but
in
it's
existence.
Like,
but like, who are you helping at that point?
That's what I mean. It's not even, none of this is a competition. None of this, yeah, is a race or a game or anything. The only people that can benefit truly are you and that person, and mostly you.
Mm-hmm.
If
that has to be your reason, it has to be the focus. And they need to go in there with that belief as well.
Yeah.
Because if you're not the best version of yourselves, then you're not going to be very good versions to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you may find that the best version of yourself doesn't mix with each other.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
That's important too, because if the best version of you doesn't mix, probably the worst versions of you also didn't mix.
That's very
so
true. Yeah.
It's important to find that out because you have a lot of life to live.
Yeah.
Wait. Time out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This one just says, hi, how are you guys doing balancing traveling, the show, and home life? I love you, ladies. I would say right now, I think we're trying our best. I would think, for me, the hardest part is the days when we come home, like, right after, which is why this part's so hard, because normally I need 2 or 3 days to, like, adjust, yeah, and then get back out to
and
it.
Sometimes we have a week or 2 weeks off, and this time we don't.
We don't. Because when we're traveling, not only is it exhausting, like, physically on us, but, like, mentally, it is such high highs. I mean, every show night is, like, I get such adrenaline, the best feelings, like, meeting you all, talking to everybody, hearing stories.
Yeah.
It's all just, like, imagine the best feelings that you can feel, and then 3 days in a row of that, and then going home and it just being normal life again.
It's very jarring.
It's so jarring. And it can feel almost like you're sinking into a depression just because those emotions are trying, yeah, to regulate. So I know for me personally, at least, I'm trying to be so gentle on myself when I do get home and like want to take a rest day. Because that's the other thing too, is,
yeah,
there is no time for resting normally when we're doing these. It's like, if you're not going to do the show, you're either getting ready for it or you're traveling. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of off time that we get.
Well, I just said to Alex last night that I was internally like spiraling. I was going back and forth with myself about not utilizing free time to do more. Like on the plane, I wrote another chapter of my book.
Yeah.
And then I got home last night. I didn't get home. I was home. But I got settled last night after the kids were in bed. And I wanted to keep writing because I thought I should keep writing. Even though just before that, I had gotten news about a friend of mine that is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Devastating. And for whatever reason, immediately when I started to feel those feelings of like wanting to sit and process what I had just heard, I wanted to be productive.
Yeah.
And I was like, for what?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
But I also think it's because I am in a cycle right now where I can't be emotional.
Right.
You guys know what's happening in my personal life. You don't know how all of that is going about, and I can't really talk about it, but what I'll say is it's a lot to have a conversation with someone during the day and then have to go out on stage. Like, I didn't just have that conversation. It's hard to be away from my kids. It's hard to come home to a quiet house. And then on top of that, I haven't updated you guys. I said that I had a mammogram. I had got a call back that I needed to have an ultrasound and additional imaging. After I did that, they called me back for additional to the additional because they didn't see everything they needed to see. So I went back and then it was in Portland before, like the day we were traveling to Seattle.
Yep.
I got a call that I now have to go to a breast center and have a radiologist do an additional ultrasound because they can't get consistent images. And they're, what they've said so far is that it's not concerning yet.
Yeah.
But the fact that there is that unknown, the fact that there is,
oh,
they're
just
like
another thing.
Yeah. That's just that's what it is. It's just like, oh, well, we saw these two spots, but now they're three. And now those three are actually different than the other ones that we just got. Mm-hmm. So it feels like there's either more happening or like we're just not sure. And
right.
So it's that not knowing. And every time I go, I'm hoping to get a call back to be like, actually, it was just this. It's either dense tissue or it's a cyst. You don't have to worry about it. But that's not the call I get. And so it's like,
you're
the
just,
amount of
it's
compartmentalizing.
Almost like you're holding your breath to be like, okay, just tell me it's cool. It's how I feel. I'm doing a metaphor right now, but it's how I feel whenever in a plane.
Yeah.
I hate takeoff and landing. Okay. But at least when I take off, when we're in the air and we're up there, I'm like, okay, we're good, but we are still in the air.
Right.
I'd love to touch down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you keep getting told that you're going to touch down. And then all of a sudden they're like, we actually have to go
back
up.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm doing that with my physical health.
Yeah.
I'm having to do that with my personal life and, and the outcome of my future. I also have things happening with the house that I have to figure out.
Yeah.
And also now the show and the work that I have to do around that. And that's why that Taylor Swift song hits me so hard, because it's like, I feel like the dancing monkey. Like, I feel like I'm on stage and the crowd is cheering more, not knowing that I'm like drowning. And I know that no one would knowingly want me to do more if they knew that I was drowning. And honestly, even if you told me to take a break, I wouldn't.
Right.
Because I can't stop.
Well, yeah.
There is no way but through. There's no way but forward.
Yeah.
I have to go forward.
Yeah.
So right now, the best thing for me to do is to just keep compartmentalizing, as not fucking fun as it is.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the question was. How are we doing with balancing everything?
Yeah. Well, then the next one is, how are you keeping balance in such a stressful time? But I think we kind of tried to say that.
LOL that I'm like, this is my year of balance. And they're like, really? Balance this.
How about
balance
this?
All this. Yeah, I just feel like every... It's almost every time we leave.
Yeah, I know.
Every time we leave, something happens. And mm-hmm. I'm like, can we not keep tossing stuff on it?
Yeah.
Because I said that I wanted to learn balance, but I didn't know that I was going to be learning it on expert mode.
I'm not trying
mode.
To juggle.
Yeah.
I want to learn juggling. Someone said another tour, question marks. Potentially. Mm-hmm. I will say we're definitely going to have an off time.
Mm-hmm.
So at least nothing for after what? Minneapolis is our last one. We're going to have quite a break.
Yeah.
Mostly because
we need it.
We need it. And you have to. Like, there's a lot going on that I think for you all, we want to put on the best show that we can. And it's not fair to push ourselves when so much else is going to happen. So
yeah.
The hope is yes. I mean, if you're saying another tour ever, yes. We just don't know 100% when.
Yeah.
Favorite songs at the moment?
Okay. At the moment.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look.
I don't know that I have a favorite.
I would say, honestly, I've been listening to a lot of Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, me too.
I'll say my favorites on there are Protector.
I was just going to, I swear to God, I was going to say that one.
And then Just for Fun.
Yeah.
Is another one. And then Most Wanted in Levi's Jeans from there. So I've just been listening to a lot of Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
And like, so I like Taylor Swift's new stuff, but right now I'm so fucking hooked on Beyonce that yeah.
I will say my favorite one from Taylor's new is, I haven't listened to them all. I'll be totally transparent with you. I've only listened to a few, and it's because Jerry played it for me. But I really like that Who's Afraid of Little Old
yes.
Me. That song
yes.
is so good.
Yes.
So good.
Who's Afraid of Little Old Me?
It tickles my brain when she sings it like
it
that.
It should be.
Oh! So Oof. Good.
I'll tell you. Sierra was watching me on the plane, listening to a lot of those.
It was just
a lot of facial expressions, a lot of facial expressions. And I was showing Alex some of the songs, some of my favorites.
Yeah.
I was playing it and they were like, yes, bitch. Yes. They were like shaking the steering wheel and bobbing their head really hard. And I was like, you're okay. very into this. And I like that.
Didn't expect that at all.
I didn't expect that at all, but I like that.
That's funny. Is it the one that I could do it with a broken heart? That one does make me want to cry and shake my ass at the
yeah,
same
time.
Yeah,
that one makes me want to shake my ass too. Oh, maybe it was that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That gives yes bitch energy.
Yes.
Bitch. I showed a lot. I want to, if I can.
Okay.
I want to read some lyrics to Just for Fun.
Okay.
I was actually listening to it when I pulled in. It made me cry because, again, like I said, every time we're on tour, something happens. I got a call, and what I was told on the call was just like fucking deflating. And so we had to get ready for the Portland show. And Sierra's playing her ass shaking music. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I really want to be on your level with you. I want to be pumping up with you, but I can't.
Yeah, because I have to. I or else my energy is going to be super fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I got to get myself in a silly
And I also, I didn't want to put pressure on you to feel like it was your responsibility to get me out of that
right.
state. And so I just put my headphones in. And the words from Just for Fun, here's to hoping I fall fast asleep tonight and I'll just need to get through this. Born in the darkness, who brings the light in? And I need to get through this. Oh, just getting used to it. And those fucking words are almost like my mantra right
yeah,
now
yeah,
that
yeah.
I'm just like repeating in my head. And I was like, I just need to get through this.
I'll
fall asleep. Born in the darkness, who lets the light in? It's almost like I'm in a season of dark, fucking dark.
Fucking shit is dark.
But a new version of me is going to be
You're in a chrysalis right now.
I am. Big butterfly energy.
Yeah, you got to melt your whole skin off or something. Great. Whatever butterflies do.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but
liquefy yourself.
When we were in Portland, my friend Kat took us to this wishing tree, and it was covered in wishes from people.
Oh, so cool.
And we got to write a wish and put it on the tree. And I put mine next to this silver butterfly that was on there.
Pretty. Oh, I like that. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, that's symbolic for me right now.
It felt like it.
Yep.
All right. How do you manage being overstimulated as a neurodivergent mom?
I do one of two things. I remove myself or I join.
Yeah.
Those are the only two things I can do.
I have to remove myself normally. Yeah. Or like I have AirPods, so I'll put those in if it's like getting to be a lot and just kind of.
Sorry.
What?
Well, in my mind, I kept thinking that, like, if I'm joining in,
yeah,
then I normally will, like, amplify whatever vocal stim I have. And then I imagined you yelling your vocal stim as of late.
I'm your Uber driver. I can't stop. I can't be stopped. Oh, my fucking God. Get the hell in.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Literally every single time we're in like a big city too, and we get an Uber, and they're like, "Hi, I'm your Uber driver," and I'm like, "Oh, I'm your Uber." Like, Sierra, don't be fucking weird.
But I felt like when we were stressed in the car and overstimulated, like in traffic trying to get to the airport.
Yes,
you and I, the only conversation we had was in our stims.
Truly.
You would say that, and then I'd go denim on denim on denim on denim,
or you go money money.
That's all I kept doing. I'm your Uber
the
driver.
The way that we did both do that, like no conversation was happening, but we were just doing that over and over and laughing at it. Yeah. That did help. That was helpful. Yeah.
So those are my things. I either have to, if I, whatever is going on, I can't.
Yeah. I normally try to just turn it into a silly, goofy time I have to. Because people tell me that. They're like, I don't understand how you can just like, you're calm a lot of the times. So you just chill. And I'm like, it's because for the most part, I can be very go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I'm not, I'm going to turn it into something fun. I'll make this shit a game if I have to.
I think the only reason I get overstimulated is because I don't realize that I'm mentally processing something.
Yeah.
And so once I almost have to like do a quick check in with myself, like, what's triggering you? Because, this isn't the first time that they've been really loud. This isn't the first time the house has been messy. This isn't the first time that there's been a lot going on at once. So are you needing time to process something? Remove yourself.
Yeah. Are you hungry? Eat something. Have you drank enough water today?
Right.
Go get a drink.
And if you just realize maybe I was just lost in thought and now this pulled me from that thought, how important was that thought? Can you leave it there and then just fucking start going, money, with your kids or no?
You should. I don't think I can go up to my kids and go, I'm your Uber driver.
I think you could.
We got one now.
Oh my God.
Get the hell in. It's so fun. I'm sorry, but you all hate me now.
That's why I just got know back I on hate TikTok is because she kept showing me that stuff. You were doing that and you were going,
what's my other one?
The podcast.
What?
Guest on my podcast.
Oh my God, dream guest on my podcast. Oh. Let's switch it up. Probably my ex.
Dream guest on my podcast.
Dream guest on my podcast. Couldn't get the voice right, but I couldn't stop doing it.
Oh, JoJo, you're too silly.
You are too silly. You make me silly. How are you doing, Sierra? I'm here.
They're like, we know your shit, Jerry. How about Cece?
Yeah, there have been some, but they were all kind of tied to the questions that we asked. This just says, love y'all from a bald eagle.
Scream!
Scream! What are you doing to fill your cups? Something you do that's just for yourself. Love from Portland. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is scrolling TikTok, apparently. Mm. Honestly, I don't know if we're going to have it much longer. That breaks my heart when I think about it.
Really?
Yes.
Well, then I'm glad that we haven't been like fucking banking on it for shit.
But
when I was beating
myself
up. If
you want, tell your friends about Ladies and Tangents, because who knows if we're going to be able to fucking get get out there anymore.
Last night, I went and was trying to screen record some videos to make into TikToks when I was telling myself I was being lazy and, and avoidant. And then I was like, no. Just stop. You just heard horrifying news. Can you just fucking lay down?
Yeah, and you don't. I think that all of that we can put on a pause until touring's done.
And I feel I did, like
that's our main focus.
I did cry. I did cry. I had a good fucking cry last night.
Oh, just to get stuff out?
No, because of what I was told.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's what I mean.
But I almost didn't. I almost just kept it in and kept it moving because I was like, I was giving myself a hard time. And then Alex was like, are you okay? You pause and you give me a sad puppy look and ask me if I'm okay. Now I'm not.
Yeah.
Now I'm not.
They're not going to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm never going to financially recover from this.
Are you, what's something you're doing to fill your cup then? Don't you dare.
I won't say it. Sometimes I go outside and play fetch with my dog.
Okay. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Are you the one running for the stick or?
No.
You're getting the ball?
No, Mosby's really good at fetch. And now that
he's actually an incredible athlete.
I don't know if I've mentioned this, but Birdie is no longer living with me. And so now that there's not another dog to compete with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she used to steal his ball all the time. And he would be like, this fucking bitch. And then he wouldn't even try. He would just get like.
So defeated, old man.
But now he's a sprightly little thing now.
No, I feel like when there's not a little puppy around, he really becomes the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
But then when there's another little young dog around, he's like, I got to be. Mm-hmm. I'll be the one.
I'll be the parent.
Yeah. Parent you around.
Hey. Like mother, like son.
Hey, same.
I'm your Uber driver.
What was the most difficult part so far of the tour? I would say what you're going through probably outside of the tour. Because honestly, tour stuff's been fine.
Yeah.
Traveling is difficult. I will say it's just exhausting. But it's we still
probably
have fun.
The post-tour constipation Sierra has been going through.
Oh, my. Oh, you guys want to hear something? I made Jerry feel my shit through my stomach.
Yes, she did.
So here's the deal.
That's what happens when we have one bed.
Yeah, we
in
did.
In the room.
We were cuddling and I was like, do you want to feel something crazy? So when I lay flat on my back, if I'm like super constipated, which I was, if you don't want to hear this, skip ahead. But I know some of you sick fucks do. So I'm going to give you what you want. So anyways, when I was rubbing my stomach, so I was like, oh, I feel like crampy, but I haven't pooped in days. And I know that I don't know what that means. It might just mean that I'm having horrible cramps. It might mean I have to shit soon.
Yep.
And as I was doing it, I felt an area that was very hard and like long. And I was like, I think this is my shit. And it was down like kind of by my hip area. Uh-huh. And so I felt it and I was like, I think that's poop. And I was like, I think I can feel my own shit through my stomach. She was like, what? Because it had kind of sunken in. I was a little dehydrated. And I was like, feel this area right here. And she's like, ew. And I was like, that's my boob. You're sick. You just felt my boobie. It was fine. And then I did shit in Portland. Thanks, Portland. I shit in Seattle. So actually, I've been doing well.
Washington. Remember when we were at that? Oh.
Yo.
Wait.
Yeah.
We stopped in this little town to eat. Sierra found
Chehalis.
This place. She found this place to eat that was like 5 stars. And so we went there.
Yelp, it said 5 stars.
Walked in. So confusing. It was weird. One of those places you walk in and immediately you're like, I shouldn't come in here.
It was just weird vibes. I was like, I don't know.
Well, they said
if we're supposed to be here.
They said it was like a 5-star like brunch place, but we walked in and they were selling like sewing stuff.
And it was also kind of a thrift store.
Right.
And I couldn't understand anything that was on the menu.
Not a word.
I was like, I just want a latte and like an omelet.
She goes, what's a turkey bap? I don't know what that is.
What the fuck any of this means?
Why is there sheep cheese?
There's sheep cheese on everything.
So we did the old turn around and pretend we're super interested in the postcards by the door and then left.
Yes.
And then She was like, hey, there's this place right around the corner. Why don't we go there? And I was like, do you want to walk? And she's like, I don't know. Why don't we just get back in the car and go? And I was like, okay. And so we got in the car. And
she gets in. She's sitting in the car adjusting things. She leans over.
I'm trying to unlock the door for her.
She's unlocking. I open the door and go to sit in. And as I go to sit in, I'm like, my backpack is gone. Oh, my God. Somebody stole my backpack. And... they left these folders on this. But also, this doesn't look like the same color of seats because it was a rental, but it definitely didn't look like our seat color.
Right.
And then it all clicked. Like in 1 second, it clicked in my mind. And I look at Jared and I go, this isn't our car. This isn't our car. This isn't our car.
And because she kept repeating it, my brain kept starting the process of understanding over. And it took 4 or 5 times of her saying, this isn't our car, for me to realize, this isn't our car. Like, I turned to look at her to be like, what are you saying to me? And saw the purple folder on the seat. And I was like, uh-oh.
Because you looked at me like, what the fuck is your problem, you weird bitch? That's the energy I got from the
Uber driver.
I was like, hey, I think we're the robbers. We are stealing this fucking car. Get out.
Yeah.
So then we had to run to our car
and did a whole loop. And actually the place we were going to was across the street.
I was like, I think it's around the corner. That's what my maps are telling me. Nope, it was literally across the street.
Well, it had two entrances, so you weren't wrong.
What's the entrance? What's the exit? Nobody knows.
I'll tell you what, they gave me an exit for my poop.
Yeah, you shit yourself. And I took
like 2 sips of that latte and I was like, I'm going to find my way to the bathroom.
Listen, what I'll tell you about that place, delicious fucking latte, delicious fucking omelet. I had a Philly cheesesteak omelet. Fucking
so good.
The
top
best
tier.
Omelet, except for that place in Maryland. I had a crab omelet.
Maryland?
In the Baltimore airport when we were on a connecting flight. Remember when we got drunk? Because our flight was delayed.
We were in Baltimore?
Yeah. Everything was crabby. Remember they had crabs everywhere.
Oh my God. I didn't know.
Not this last time.
No, no, no. I know. In Texas. You're about. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. We were at the Baltimore airport. Yeah. That was when we had been flying, we had no sleep between us.
No sleep till Brooklyn.
And I was starting to get silly, but not in a good way. Silly as in I'm delirious.
They had that beautiful bathroom. Yes. And that's why the food was expensive because they were paying for the bathroom.
Yes. So you got it now.
Yep.
Yeah. That omelet that I had that was like crab meat, it was like a crab cake omelet, was like $30. I was like, I'm going big or I'm going home. And I'll have 2 fucking tall beers because it's 9 a.m. and I haven't slept all night. And we still have another flight to hit.
Yep.
And I need something to keep me awake. And then we got really silly and it was really fun. So there have been, I will tell you, as many tough moments as I feel like.
There have been a lot of fun.
It's been so much fun.
Honestly. Without tour, I don't know where I'd be mentally right now.
I agree with that.
I have no idea.
Yeah. It's kind of keeping us going in a really crazy, weird way. It's almost like when you're in the newborn phase and you're like, this is so difficult, but I love you more than I could ever
experience. I haven't slept and I feel like an insane person, but I just smelled your head and I could cry.
And I could cry. Yes. Yeah. And that's what she keeps doing to me, just smelling my head and it gets her through.
It does.
So, yeah. Well, do you want to keep doing it?
We'll just do one more question.
All right, let's see if I can get a lighthearted one.
We'll, I don't know, continue this on Patreon or should we do a game?
Yeah, we can do a little bit of both if you want. Okay, well, this says which TTPD song is on repeat. We kind of already said that.
Yeah.
You already know.
I'm so depressed, I act like it's my birthday every day.
Oh, there's so many good ones. This one just says, so where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here?
Is that a good one to end on? Where do we go from here? Hey, the only way we can go is
Michigan?
Forward.
Oh.
Forward to Michigan.
To Michigan.
We're going to go to Michigan. Chicago. And then we're going to go to Chicago.
And then we're going to Minneapolis.
Ew! And that's what I know. So,
yeah.
Michigan and Minneapolis, thank you so much. We are sold out, but we still have tickets available for Chicago.
And it's going to be our biggest show.
It will be our biggest show. We want you all, this is the last leg of the tour. We want you to bring the fucking energy because Portland brought it. Seattle brought it. We need this energy. It literally,
it's keeping me alive. It is my life support
right now. No, for real. Because literally moments before she goes out on stage, she's like this.
Uh-huh.
So keep it going. And we promise to give you a great show in return. So
yeah.
Also, if you want, ladiesandtangents.com, while you're there, if you're buying tickets, go ahead and look at some merch. We have new merch still.
We do.
And it's fucking awesome. We've actually seen it on people now.
It's dope.
So fucking dope.
Also, I know that we were getting messages that stuff was sold out. I think they restocked some of the sizes that were sold out.
Yes. So again, we are working with a company. They don't have everything just like in a warehouse. You know what I mean? They have to get it shipped in and then
it's not made to order.
That's what I mean.
Like before it was made to order. So as soon as you ordered it, it went into production. But the reason that we switched and there's significantly less designs is because we were basically paying you to wear our merch.
Truly.
I know that, we lost money that way.
Yeah.
and not that this is all about money, but...
But when you have people, like we have managers and business people, they're looking at us and they're like, hey, you're going to have to just not do merch. Or you have to do it a different way because you're just losing so much money this way. So
if you want this to be your business, this is not good business. And we're like, all right,
fine. So we switched it up. And now hopefully, you know, it's the best of both worlds. We can still give you merch. Just bear with us we will get everything restocked and hopefully everybody will be able to get what they want. And then, you know, maybe in the future, there will be more different designs. Yeah. If maybe you were
maybe
thinking.
Maybe we do drops now.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe seasonal. We're like a real podcast.
Professional podcast for professional people. Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys. I'm your Uber driver.
Get the hell in.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out.
Money.
Sending in those questions. We love you so much. We'll see you next week.
All right.
We're out.
Goodbye.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.